Support for Switched on Pop comes from Mint Mobile. With Mint, you can get the mobile coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. This year, you can skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. You can get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/onpop. That's mintmobile.com/onpop. Payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And today we welcome a very special guest, the host of Commotion, a daily pop culture podcast from CBC. It's Elamine Abdelmahmoud.
Woohoo!
Hello! Thanks for having me, pals.
So glad you're here today, Elamine. We're big fans of Commotion, and we're not just saying that to pad our inevitable visa application.
You'll be welcome anytime.
And we're thrilled to have you here to discuss a topic that seems to be everywhere in the music media discourse right now. Let's call it the summer bummer. For instance, The Guardian has a headline. The song of summer is ... nothing? Global News. Shouldn't we have heard about a song of summer by now? The National. Why no one can agree on the 2025 song of the summer. Time Magazine. The song of the summer is dead. Thank God for that.
Oof. That's rough.
That's by our friend Taylor Crumpton. And your own CBC Kids, Elamine, says, is there a song of the summer yet? The internet says no. Okay, so there's a lot of concern about this development. Where has the song of the summer gone? Why is there no song of the summer in 2025? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? First of all, let's understand where this is coming from. If we look at the Billboard summer charts, which is a thing, they have their own like song of summer chart, we find some songs that don't feel particularly new. For instance, Chappell Roan's Pink Pony Club. That's number 7 on the Billboard summer song charts. Pink Pony Club, I'm gonna keep on dancing at the Pink
Pony Club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West. That song's 5 years old?
That song is eternal. That song is actually going to remain on the charts. They took a vote on it. It's going to stay on the charts for the next 35 years. No one can touch it. It's not going anywhere.
Not mad.
What about number 6, Die with a Smile? You remember this one from Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga?
Can I give you a theory, Nate, on Die With a Smile?
Theorize away.
I don't believe that any human being has ever heard Die With a Smile. I don't. I think that song was made for bots and by bots. And they're having a great time listening to the song over and over again. It has helped with the chart position. I'm yet to meet a real life person who's like, oh, you know that song, Die With a Smile from Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. Like that just, it hasn't happened. I think Die With a Smile is maybe a psyop. I'm not entirely sure, but that's my theory.
This song was released last summer.
Yes.
And bots seem to have been listening to it ever since.
Yes.
So the bots have been busy, and the songs that are bubbling up this summer don't maybe sound like the traditional song of summer. They're down-tempo and sparse, like one we discussed on our pod last week, and Elamine, you recently discussed on Commotion as well, a song from Justin Bieber's latest album, Swag, Daisies. Throwing petals like, do you love me or not? Head is spinning and it don't know when to stop. You said forever, babe, did you mean it or not? Hold on, hold on. A great track, but maybe not the anthemic, sing-along, dance floor, party spectacular that you would expect from a quote-unquote song of summer. So let's take the temperature. Are you in agreement with this dire prognosis about the death of the song of summer? Does this ring true to you? Elamine, what's your take?
My take on this is that the people want to feel unified. You know, like we want to sort of experience that, like, we're all living on the same planet, listening to the same songs. And as much as like, we talk about like the way the streaming is sort of like fragmented our listening experience, the Song of the Summer is like one of those invitational moments where we say, well, at least we all know that in common. At least we all kind of live in the same world as that. And I think the contrast this year to last year is especially dire because, like, this time last year, we had Brat. We had Cowboy Carter. This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold'em. So lay our cards down now. Not Like Us was already out.
Yep. They not like us.
They not like us. They not like us. Sabrina Carpenter was about to just become the biggest thing on the planet. There's something about drought compared to last year, which was a year of plenty. And actually so much of that year of plenty is still on the charts this year because last year was an unusual year in terms of just like shoveling things into the discourse that could become a song of the summer.
I feel this anxiety is very real about wanting to connect, wanting to be together, hearing the same thing. Part of this anxiety might come from, I saw this Atlantic article the other day called American Summers Are Starting to Feel Like Winter. It's so hot outside that we have to stay inside in order to stay cool. And so perhaps this larger anxiety of a really hot summer has cooled down the capacity to find that summer hit when we're all out dancing together, if you will. But I do think this is an issue where if you look at the Hot 100, a lot of things on there don't feel representative of this moment. If you're really into Alex Warren's Ordinary, fine. But I feel like that's like a slice of listeners, even though it's been number one forever.
Who are those people?
I don't know. I don't think that Morgan Wallen and Tate McRae is what I want is the song of the summer. And then you just have everything from last year. Shaboozy's A Bar Song, Luther from Kendrick and SZA, Billie Eilish's Birds of a Feather. These are the songs getting play, and they're all from at least a year ago. That said, I do think there are a few songs that have been bubbling up and maybe earning that title.
All right, so whether the lack of a definitive 2025 summer song is due to the anxiety over our fractured society or perhaps the continued hangover we're having from the riches of summer 2024, I agree, Charlie. There's more than meets the ear in terms of musical offerings this summer, and that is why we are going to go around this esteemed panel here. And we are each going to share two tracks that we think could counter this narrative of the dearth of great music. Hopefully, by the time you're done listening to this, you'll have a playlist of six excellent summer songs and fighting off the existential malaise and dread and winterization of summer, etc. Let us start with our illustrious guest here, Elamine. What's the first song that you think people should be listening to this summer?
I think it is not only my opinion, but the opinion of the charts that this song is unignorable. It's got to be the homies of Huntrix, who are not real people, but they are animated characters from K-pop Demon Hunters. They're the lead central characters of that movie. And right now, if you go look at the charts, yeah, you might feel a little down that Alex Warren is number one with Ordinary. But right there, number two, and just ready to edge him out of that spot, is the song Golden. Come on. It is an absolute heater. It's also the big I want song from that movie. And like, there's a history, not a long history, but there's a history of big songs from movies, animated movies, making it to the top 10 of the Billboard 100s. Frozen, Let It Go. That's the big sort of main character I want song. I think Idina Menzel made the top five. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas, problematic, sure, but also, you think you're the only people who are people. Come on, banger.
You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you.
And then you get Huntrix and this song, and my Instagram feed is filled, like genuinely filled with just like DJs who drop golden on unsuspecting dance floors. And then the camera pans and the dance floor is losing it. And like, who doesn't want to hear that beat and that song in the club? I do. I certainly do. And it seems like people also want that. That's what makes for a song of the summer.
There's a lot that is effective about this track, even when you remove it from the context of a anime movie about K-pop stars who in their free time hunt demons. I haven't seen it, to be clear, but I know Elamine is deep in the lore. We've gotten so many requests to cover the music from this film, and I see why, because it's so dialed in. I mean, let's talk about text painting in the chorus of this song, right? When the music does the thing that the lyrics describe. Up, up, up with our voices. And literally the melody goes up, up, up to these like stratospheric high notes. It's so satisfying.
Yeah, I got to tell you that, like, to me, when you watch this movie, which you described as, like, in their free time, they kill demons. I'm like, no, Nate, that's their main job. Their main job, is to protect the earth. Like, their cover stories of their K-pop, their K-pop stars. But this is, I think, really crucial, is that, like, if you are an animation company that is going to take on a culture like K-pop, and you're going to sort of properly say, you know what, we want to be in conversation with what's happening in K-pop, they actually leaned on people in the K-pop industry to make this. Like, the song has credibility. The song has producers who are established producers in the world of K-pop. And as a result, like, you don't listen to that song and go, this feels like an interloper. You're kind of like, oh, this is just a hit song. Mm. The fact that it functions perfectly as a part of a plot in a movie is, like, almost incidental and secondary to it. Like, I can't stop listening to the song. When I'm going to sleep, I'm just going, that's every day in my life. That is what is happening. Someone help me, but also I don't want it to stop.
Back in the day, I had a CD player that had an alarm setting where you could listen to a song the second you woke up. This would be a good contender for that role.
Yeah.
I'm going up, up, up. And you're like, all right, let's go. Let's start the day.
Yeah, I'm in.
A strong start to our secret summer 2025 musical playlist. Charlie, can you keep it going?
Yeah, I think that if not Demon Hunters, the absolute song of the summer is Raven Lanae's Love Me Not. Oftentimes the song of the summer is a track that has had a really slow build and becomes defined by the moment that it finally breaks out. And that's what's going on with Raven Lanae. It's happened for so many other songs, but Love Me Not is a song that was released in May of 2024. Like so many songs that find their footing on the Billboard, it becomes a TikTok hit. It's soundtracked over 300,000 times, and it debuts on the Hot 100 back in April of this year at number 81. But it has just slowly climbed up the charts ever since then. This, I think, really is the breakout song, and it's exciting because, you know, Raven, she's a 26-year-old artist from Chicago. She's been releasing music for 10 years. She's toured alongside SZA. She's got collabs with Steve Lacy and Childish Gambino. And this song, I think, is special, too. It started out originally 10 years ago, an Anderson .Paak track produced by DJ Dahi. And the song is like thrown into a locker somewhere. And then she's working with DJ Dahi and he's like, I got this thing. Haven't been doing anything with it for 10 years. What do you think? She puts her voice and spin on it. And we get this song, which is both incredibly contemporary and a total throwback. And I think that's what makes it work for this summer. She cites influences from The Supremes, Winehouse, meet you downstairs, to artists like Steve Lacy. And I think we can hear in that clip you play both the old and the new. On the new side, the whole song starts with this grainy, weird guitar loop, feels very contemporary. And then we get a barrage of heartbreak lyrics that feel like a text chain between two people falling out in a relationship. Infectious melodies, giant vocal stacks, these weird backward drums. So naturally, we always lose connection. The structure of the song is very of the now. The second verse is its own melody. It introduces a pre-chorus the second time through. But then, of course, the whole thing feels very throwback and old at the same time. It's got a basic Motown beat, a simple bass, and then this harmonic structure with these very classic chords. It reminds me, if you're going to reference some kind of like Motown older thing, you got to use seventh chords. You got to use these chords that aren't as common today. So, you know, this song is like...
That
third chord, right?
Dig it. Nice.
Creates all this like lovely harmonic tension. It's something you would hear on a song like Build Me Up Buttercup. Why do you build me up, buttercup,
baby, just to let me down? I mess me around and
then... So it's got that same kind of like crunchy seventh chord thing that you'd hear in a throwback song. Harmonic progressions that are very... chordal and, you know, harmonious. So I love what she's doing here. It's got something for everyone, the old, the new. It's built up to this peak moment. I think this will be the song that we'll remember as the song of summer 2025.
Charlie, you make a strong case for Raven Lanae, and you know, the slow burn of this track suggests you're making a great call. It's a joy to listen to. I've been a fan of hers since I think Free Space was maybe the first track of hers. I love to see her getting this shine. I have a pick that is kind of in a similar bag, Charlie.
Okay.
It's the latest from one of my favorite neo-soul R&B artists, singer, songwriter, producer, Amber Mark. It's called Sweet Serotonin. Sugar, honey, serotonin.
Oof. Okay.
That song, the sweat is like glistening as you listen to it. This is a song for the heat. It's got this simmering tension underneath it. I think because of the looped drums and the slowly building instrumentation, it's really taking its time. It's hot, it's sweaty, it's steamy. Amber Mark, man, this is an artist. I remember when we interviewed her many moons ago.
2017, yeah.
Wow, 2017 when she was on the come up. And we were like, this artist is going places. And ever since then, I feel like Amber Mark is doing the thing where she's like really stepping back, refining her sound, and then only dropping a new track when the time is right. And if this is auguring the sound of the rest of her forthcoming record, like, I'm here for it. This is, to me, a perfect summer track.
Okay, so just to be clear, this song is not getting huge radio play, but for you, stylistically, it's doing the thing that you want in a summer song. And this sort of soul throwback thing is having a moment. And so she's catching a wave.
I'm also just really interested in the resurgence of those sounds. Like in many ways, pop music right now, golden notwithstanding, I think like in many ways it feels like the 1960s, you know? And like maybe kind of explicitly so. Like you have God on the charts, right? Like Alex Warren, number one, but also Benson Boone, not that far behind. God is in the charts in terms of the conversation, but also this protest in the streets, right? Like the idea of like every music festival feels like itself is a part of a protest. You're seeing a lot of Palestine flags at those festivals. And then also at the same time, like you're getting the resurgence of these sounds. I think Jesse Murph has that song called 1965, which the chorus of which is literally just like, hey, I would give up a few rights if you would just love me like it's 1965. I think I give up a few rides if you would
just love me like it's 1965.
I don't know if that's a theme you want to necessarily go with, but there's like a looking backwards that seems to be kind of bubbling up in terms of where pop is right now.
Yeah. I had a term for this that has so far not made it out of the Slack, but I'll try it out here and and see if it's got legs. trad bait.
It has, not only does it have legs, it's going viral today. It's happening.
Trad bait. Not full trad, not full trad wife, you know.
No.
But just a little hint of trad.
A signal, if you will.
Yeah, a signal of trad.
You know what, though? Like, it also makes me think of that Brandon Lake. He's an out-and-out Christian artist, right?
And Forrest Frank, I think, is maybe another artist like that.
Again, explicitly, like, in the CCM category, not even usually in the pop arena. Trad bait, it's got to get out of the slack and into the world, because we need something to sort of pull all of these energies together of, like, there's a looking backwards that is happening, sonically, but also thematically. The people are yearning for some kind of return to that.
So if trad beat is happening, necessarily you need the sound of soul music and protest music to counteract it. Like, they are happening at the same time. Makes sense?
Yeah.
All right, quick break, and then we're back with another selection from each of us.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Mint Mobile. Summer is for beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends. It's not for getting burned by your wireless bill. Thankfully, Mint Mobile wants to keep your cell phone costs as cool as the other side of the pillow. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money and for a limited time. Mint Mobile is offering 3 months for unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can get your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling literally and financially. This year, you can skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. You can get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/onpop. That's mintmobile.com/onpop. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available, taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Round two of The Secret Summer Hits. Elamine, what's your pick?
Okay, number two, this is the song that starts off the album of the summer for me. My man, Tyler Childers, has been away for a little while. He comes back with Snipe Hunt. I'm delighted to have him. And then the very first song that you hear is the song called Eatin' Big Time. And I swear to God, it took me an hour to get to the second song because I was like, hang on. Tyler Childers is having the time of his life. I've never heard someone have more fun on a record. Come on.
Yeah.
Hang on, Nate. I know you're about to stop the music there, but may I beseech you to play just the first four lines of the second verse? Because there's a part where you almost hear Tyler burn out the entirety of his voice as he yells about the flexing on wearing a $1,000 watch. And he's like, this is a big enough flex for me. It's so satisfying to hear that. I was like, start the song again. Every single time I get to that part, I'm like, oh, I'm not ready to just move on from this song. So can we just play just that one part?
My time on my wise, you got them right. I'm flexing because $1,000 watch is fine enough flex for me. Have you ever got to hold and blow $1,000?
Whoa.
It runs for 40 hours and then it winds itself to sleep.
Come on.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. I've loved Tyler Childers for a long time. He will work with Rick Rubin to give you an album that is a band that is so tight and so intimate. Mm. And they're having so much fun on this record. Mm-hmm. I think something about Tyler Childers to me is he's someone who's so invested in saying country cannot remain stagnant. We have to sort of keep pushing it forward and inventing new ways for it to not feel like nostalgia porn all the time. And when you press play on the record and you get that song, you kind of go, I don't know where we are, but we're an entirely different country and we're having the time of our lives.
Just for clarity, Eatin' Big Time is a deer hunt narrative wrapped in hip hop braggadocio about how awesome is it that I've made it and I've got cool watches. Like,
yeah.
I think Rick Rubin was the right producer to work with on this.
Exactly right. And also, the size of the brag is incredibly crucial because, like, when you hear him say, hey, have you ever had a chance to hold and blow $1,000?
Yeah.
He's like, I actually don't need to spend Rolex money on a watch. Spending $1,000 on a watch is perfectly sufficient and is grounds enough for a flex. Mm. He's both simultaneously being like, we don't need to flex bigger than this. And also, I get to wear a $1,000 watch. Isn't that crazy? Which is like the perfect zone of a Tyler flex for me. Like, it's just everything that who he is wrapped up perfectly in this record. It's great.
It's achievable luxury.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I'm glad you had us listen to that moment where he pushes his voice to almost to the point of breaking. Got to hold and blow $1,000. It made me realize there's something a little bit punk about his aesthetic as well.
Yeah.
There's this kind of rawness that is like part of the country tradition, but he also seems to be getting from somewhere else. And I don't know if it's punk or another style, but that willingness to just sort of lay your body on the line for the music, that's something that makes him pretty special, I think.
Marissa Armas, the excellent country music journalist, profiled him for GQ, and they talked a lot about this record. And one of the things that he talked about is about just capturing this energy of being a garage band, being a garage punk band, and saying, like, yeah, we play country music, but, like, how do we do it in such a way where it is urgent and it is vital and it's kind of bursting at you in a way so like, I don't have the option to stop the song halfway through. It's not available to me because it is an assault. It is demanding to be listened to, you know? And it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to do it, you know? And he really does it.
All right, we've got both K-pop Demon Hunters and Tyler Childers from Elamine, an amazing duo. Charlie, what's your second pick?
I have gone on a major Haim re-listen this summer. They put out their fourth album called I Quit back in June. But rather than listening to the album, I decided I'm going to listen to all four Haim records in a row and see where it takes us. And here's what I figured out. The first two albums, they were great. They gave us singles like The Wire off of 2013's Days Are Gone. Want You Back off of Something to Tell You. But there's something about them that kind of misses the mark. I feel like they're overcooked and don't capture what we want from a band of three sisters. A band of three sisters, you want that quirky bond of three people who play drums all together on stage at a festival. The first two records are just very produced. They are fully cooked. And they really found something special on their third album, Women in Music Part 3, that launched during the pandemic. Songs like Summer Girl were a perfect summer song. Summer girl, I'm your summer girl. It was sort of this throwback Lou Reed sound. It was lo-fi. It was raw. You could hear the sisters playing in the room together. You could hear their relationship. And I think that's what you want from this kind of band. And so on their fourth album, I Quit, I think they've really continued to capture that intimacy. The album is all about letting go of relationships and expectations and anything that's not working for you. All three sisters were single while making the album, and Daniel Haim was coming out of a long-term relationship. So that emotional reset really shaped the music, and I think you can really hear it on their single Relationships.
Come on, what a jam.
This is a song that captures both what you want from the band and the feeling of like summer heartbreak. The band is so perfectly produced. It captures the live energy of these three sisters. Danielle played all the drums live, but then they produced them and layered them. The background layers are like what feel like a home upright piano. The sisters call and respond in this really nice way to Daniel's lead. How did we get ourselves into this?
the vocal reflecting on the fact that relationships are never going to succeed. She goes into these high registers that are frail and vulnerable. I think that this song totally grooves. It has fretless bass. It's not afraid to wear, you know, some old influences on its sleeve. And it's just like, this is summer driving music, especially if you're going through a summer heartbreak. This is the one. I'm not going through a summer heartbreak, happily married, two children, but I do remember what it feels like to have summer heartbreak as a teenager. This is that feeling.
I love that record, man. I love that record. I love Down to Be Wrong.
Mm. Oh, it's so good.
It does the same thing, right? Which is like, you really can feel them all hanging out in a room, being like, yikes, you broke up and now we got to write a song about it. And there's something,
yeah.
There's something like really genuinely, like deeply intimate about them being like, we're going to come together to reflect on the breakups that all of the sisters had, to pull them together in this, which is like, it almost serves as a concept album that is like, here's an arc of a divorce or like a sort of a long-term separation.
Yeah.
But it does it so well and so intimately that you're like, oh, I feel like I'm feeling these feelings like along with you. It's unbelievable.
Right. It's not just the feeling of heartbreak. It's the feeling of, but my sister's got my back.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, I wish I were in that family.
Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
We have had an amazing tour through the various offerings this summer. I feel like we've successfully countered this idea that there is no great summer music in 2025. In fact, there's an abundance of riches that can make us feel all sorts of different emotions.
And as the lead host, have you saved the best for last?
Well, I've gone a little off-piste. One of the sadder developments this summer has been the loss of great artists who we love. Brian Wilson, of course, the Beach Boys. Recently, Ozzy Osbourne of Black Sabbath. And a musician who I haven't really had the chance to talk about much on the pod, but who's been incredibly influential for me. And in many ways, I think like, weirdly captures the spirit of our moment. It's Sly Stone. Sly and the Family Stone. Actually, you were talking about this a little bit earlier, Elamine. There, a lot of that unrest of the 1960s,
yeah,
and especially those like hot 60s summers, it makes sense that in a way we're reaching back to that sound when we live in such a volatile moment right now. And so I feel like going back to the music of Sly Stone, whether it's Dance to the Music or Sing a Simple Song or Everyday People or I Can Take You Higher, these songs like speak to us in a powerful way today. The one that I'll go with is Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself, which begins with one of the greatest slap bass lines in the annals of slap history.
The song, Thank You, isn't just a great slap bass moment. It's often credited as being the first moment that people heard the slap bass.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
That slap bass, yes, is from Larry Graham, also known as Drake's uncle.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And this track, it's like this interesting mix of, there's a little bit of like danger and violence in the lyrics. Grinning at the devil, you've got a gun pointed at you. And then it's got this sort of celebratory chorus. Thank you for letting me be myself. It's like simmering tension, but there's also something celebratory. This song, I've been listening to Sly Stone a lot this summer. And there's something about this music that just feels so relevant and urgent to our moment. So is this allowed? I'm going to go reach back into the past and bring back the music of Sly Stone for my final pick.
Oh my.
There, I did it. It's my podcast. Who's going to stop me?
First of all, not only can we not stop you, but as we've sort of shown, like it seems like the charts are reaching back to last year in terms of who's on the charts. So you're like, hey, if we're going to reaching back, let's go back to Sly. You know, like, why don't we do that? I do think that, like, the first 30 seconds of Dance to the Music, to me, it sounds like a symphony. But it's, like, the most chaotic symphony you've ever heard in your life, of just people competing for space in the most beautiful possible way, because there's just so much happening in that scream, and the scream is trying to go over chords. And then the entire song is just like, why don't we introduce you to the next instrument? What about the next instrument? What about this instrument? And there's something really, really beautiful about the fact that, like, that's the entirety of the song, and yet it's perfect. No notes. Just everybody demanding their own space. Like, no, 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 let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in.
I can't think of a better note to end on. I'm feeling very optimistic about the state of the summer, at least musically, in 2025, after this conversation, from K-pop to Raven Lanae to Amber Mark, to Tyler Childers and Haim. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for, and there's a lot to listen to, and we've only scratched the surface. But this is leaving me feeling just a little bit rosier about the state of the world. Elamine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. This has been a delight. Listen, the Song of the Summer can be whatever you want it to be, as long as you're talking to your friends about it, because you gotta stop waiting for publications to tell you who the Song of the Summer is. You listen to a song, and you go out there and you tell them what you think the Song of the Summer is. And that's the way that it was meant to be. So you go out and yell at someone, go like, listen to this. It should be the thing you listen to. It's the best.
Beautiful.
Roll your windows down and turn the volume up, people. Again, Elamine is the host of Commotion, the daily culture podcast from CBC. We'll pop a link to that in the show notes. I've been listening to a lot of Commotion recently. The Springsteen episode was brilliant. I definitely encourage people to go check out that one. We'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. And let's let Elamine go enjoy the fruits of Canada while we do our credits, Charlie.
Ah, yes, the fruits of Canada. Thank you, guys. Thank you again.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rana Cruz, this week edited by Alyssa Suip, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Aris Gottlieb, theme music by Zach Tenario and Jossie Adams of Arc Iris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
We'll be back next week with a new episode. And until then,
thanks for listening.
Thanks to Mint Mobile for their support. Temperatures rise in the summer, and that doesn't mean your cell phone bill has to. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. This year, you can skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. You can get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/onpop. That's mintmobile.com/onpop. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available, taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.